look in your Bibles to the book of 1 Samuel tonight, 1 Samuel chapter number 10, and I will begin reading verse number 26 tonight. Look at a thought, and if that Lord just began stirring a phrase out of this verse in my heart yesterday while I was painting, it stayed on my mind all day through the night and all this day, and I began looking in the Bible this morning more and looking some words up and some things that God began stirring in my heart. I want to try to be a help and a blessing to us tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 10, you're willing and able to stand tonight, and we'll read verse 26 and verse 27, and we'll pray and then try to preach as the Lord directs our heart tonight. 1 Samuel chapter number 10, verse number 26. The Bible says, "And Saul also went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. But the children of Belial said, 'How shall this man save us?' And they despised him and brought him no presents, but he held his peace." Let's pray together. Father, I thank you, Lord, tonight one more time. The privilege had to call upon your name. Lord, I ask you now, Lord, just strengthen my voice, my body. I pray you give me clarity of thought, clarity of speech. Give me the very words that you want me to say tonight. Lord, all I want to do is deliver what you put on my heart and mind. I pray help our hearts be receptive. I pray, Lord, convict sinners and save them. I pray help us as your people. Oh, Lord, may we leave this place a better Christian. I pray, Lord God, if there's a child of God burdened down, Lord, may they come to you tonight, cast it upon you, and knowing for you care for them. Help us now. I know the people are weary. I pray for a little while, give them strength in their body and mind, and may our souls be ready for the word of God. And everything you do, we'll praise you and we'll thank you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. We find here in 1 Samuel chapter 10, in this chapter, in the earlier verses, where Saul is anointed king of Israel. He's the first king that Israel ever had. They wanted a king. The Bible, a few chapters before, tells us here the two of the Lord's helped us. But then they decided, we want a king to be like everybody else. And we know what that produced. But I began thinking about a phrase in verse 26. Yesterday and through this day, and I'll look at it now in verse 26. The Bible says, "And Saul also went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched." Now, the priest tonight, the Lord helping me just a few minutes on a heart touched by God. A heart touched by God. That's what the Bible said about this band of men. Now there's three things I want to look at and I'll be done and let you go. I want to give you something because I want to say this. We are blessed that our hearts have been touched by God. Hey, you think about this, that a holy God, a big God, would take time out for you and take time out for me. Now listen, he knows everything about us. He knows our faults. He knows our pluses, if there is any in our lives. He knows everything about us, and still he would take time to touch us. Amen. Hey, he touched these men's heart, and we see what happened with them. Now three things, here they are. Number one, I look at the definition of being touched. What does that word touch mean in that verse, that whose hearts God had touched? Well, that word touch there means naturally to lay the hand upon for any purpose. It means to reach, to arrive, or acquire. Listen to this. It means to come nigh. What about that? It means to draw near or draw nigh, to join near. It also involves emotion. There is emotion involved in this of drawing near and being near and coming nigh. This word touch, and that's what God has done for us. Hey, understand this. Ephesians chapter 2 very plainly tells us, before we were saved, we were dead in trespasses and sin. But it also says we were without the covenants and promise. All right? Gentiles were on the outside looking in. Amen. God had chose Abraham, raised up the Jewish nation. There are just a few places in the Old Testament where God ever dealt with Gentiles. Very little. Most of the Old Testament, him dealing with the Jew. But thank God, since Calvary, it's Jew and Gentile. He included us. Amen. And to understand that God came near you and came near me and has touched our hearts. You know, I think sometimes we've lost the wonder of him touching our hearts. Boy, if you just really would forget about a lot of stuff and think about the God of heaven touching your heart. As a matter of fact, I'll ask you something. Has he ever touched your heart? Amen. To have the hand of God touch your heart. Oh, there ain't nothing like it. You do understand there's people in the world that God's not touched yet. You understand? Hey, a man doesn't get saved till God makes a step toward him. Amen. Somebody years ago tried to accuse me of being a Calvinist. That say, that ain't nothing to do with Calvinism. That's called the Bible. Amen. He has to draw a man. That's right. And that means he's made a step towards you. He has touched you. Hey, for God to touch your heart. And think about this. That touch led to your salvation. And you've been feeling this touch ever since. Amen. That God would touch your heart and touch my. He had to come near. Oh, I'm glad that he's near tonight. So we see the definition of this word touch. Well, I will look secondly, and this is where I'll stay a little while, in verse 26 and 27, at the difference this touch makes. The touch of God to your heart makes all the difference in the world. Because look at verse 26. We find the godly are mentioned in verse 26. He said there, and that went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. Hey, it's good to be a child of God. Amen. It's good to be a child of light. Amen. Do you remember sitting in darkness? Hey, I remember when he cut the light on. I do. Do you remember sitting in death? You remember being dead? I do. I sure do know it is to be quickened. Amen. And it's good to know in your heart that you are a child of the living God. Amen. Hey, we find he talks about the godly in verse 26. What's he tell us in this verse? Well, number one, these whose hearts been touched follow the king. Amen. Look at it. It said, and there went with him, a band of men whose hearts God had touched. What about that? They went with the king. They followed the king. I want to tell you, everybody look at me. Everybody says they're a Christian. That's not a Christian. Amen. If you claim your heart's been touched by God, but yet you don't find yourself following the king, something's not took place. Amen. Because those whose hearts God's touched find themselves following the king. Amen. Preacher, what are you doing now? I'm following the king. Amen. Where he leads, I'm a following. Amen. Hey, he is the one that's in charge. He is the one upon the throne. And I am following him. Those whose hearts have been touched by God, follow the king. Don't try to tell me you're following the king when you're not following him. Amen. And don't say your heart's been touched if you ain't following him. That's right. Hey, there are people. Now, you just be real honest. There's people, you could be sitting right here tonight and understand this. You're not following the king. You ain't never followed the king, and you're not interested in following the king. Amen. That's a real good evidence you ain't ever had him touch you. Amen. There's something about getting saved. I told it the other week in revival meeting where I was preaching at. Cause man, and it's real to me. It don't bother me to tell over and over again about getting saved. Don't bother me to hear folk tell me how they got saved over and over again. It thrills me. Because I know this. That night I got saved, I started following the king. Amen. Nobody had to tell me to do it. It was automatic. If you get touched by God, You'll follow the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. By the way, that's why you're here tonight. Amen. Hey, people that have not had their heart, they ain't real interested in Wednesday night prayer meeting. That's why it ain't never the largest crowd you ever have at church. Amen. They told me in Bible college a long time ago now, a fellow said it like this. He said, you want to see how popular your church is? Come on Sunday morning. You want to see how popular the preacher is? Come on Sunday night. You want to see how popular the Lord is? Come on Wednesday night. Amen. I believe there's some truth to that. I really do. There's just something in our hearts as God's people. He's led us to the house of God tonight. Amen. Hey, those who've been touched in their heart by God, they follow the King. Not only that, they favor the King. Did you notice that? Now in verse 27, that crowd don't favor the King. They don't favor the King at all. But these men, this band of men whose hearts got to their faith, they went with him. Amen. Hey, it ain't just anybody they followed after God touched them. They're following the King because they favor the King. Amen. Can I ask you a real good question? Do you favor the King? Is he your favorite person in all the world? I tell you, I love my wife and I love my children, but there ain't nobody like the Lord. Amen. Hey, you ever have him touch your heart, change your life? Hey, he's special to you. It means more to you than anybody or anything this world's got. Oh, they favor. Hey, they're went with him. Saul, hey, they followed the King because they favored the King. Hey, listen to this. No, they follow the King, favor the King, but they're the force of the King, the force of the King. Where do you get that from, preacher? It said, well, look at, and there went with him a band of men. That word band there means a force or an army or soldiers or a company. Amen. You just got in the army. You got in the crowd, the company, amen, with the Lord. We are the agents he uses in this world to get the gospel out. Amen. This band, listen to this. This word band also means and tells us they were men of virtue. They were men of valor. They were men of vigor. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. When you got saved, you found yourself in the army of God. Hey, you're ready to go. You're ready to do. Hey, that's because your heart's been touched by God. Amen. Oh, friend, we see these godly follow the King and favor the King, and they're the force of the King, but they're faithful to the King too. When this other crowd, verse 27, spoke up, this crowd in verse 26 didn't change their minds. Amen. I want to tell you something. If somebody can change your mind, I ain't too sure you ever had God touch you to start with. Amen. I like something my pastor said years ago. He's in heaven now, but he made a statement, boy, I like it. He said, you don't unbelieve anything. You just didn't really believe it to start with. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, I'm sold on the fact that Jesus is the Savior. I know it. He saved me. Amen. He's who he said he was and a whole lot more. Amen. Hey, we find that they stay faithful to the King. That's my heart desire. Man, when I fail him, when I sin and come short of the glory of God, it breaks my heart and grieves me because I know it grieves his heart. Hey, I want to be faithful to the King tonight. Amen. Oh, friend, we see the godly of verse 27. You see, there's a difference that touch makes. Because see in verse 26, the godly. But verse 27, the godless. That's who's in verse 27, the godless. Look at it, said, but the children of Belial said, how shall this man save us? And they despised him and brought him no presents, but he held his peace. We see three things about this godless crowd. See, their heart ain't been touched. All right? And because their hearts are not to, there's three things that are very evident about. Hey, and I hope verse 23 don't describe you, but if it does, that's what the Bible's letting you know. Because you see in verse 27, they're sinful men. For it said there, but the children of Belial. That word Belial means they're vile. They are sinners exceeding. They are wicked. They are ungodly. That's what he's letting you know. When the Bible called them children of Belial, hey, that ain't a good thing being said about them. Now, the world would probably think it's good, but I'm going to tell you, in the economy of God, it's not a good thing. Amen. I wouldn't want to be in association or be called a child of Belial. Amen. There are sinful men, wicked men. Hey, you have to admit this, boy, sin is very prominent in our day. I said it during prayer, and I'm going to say it again. People won't head to a lawless society. They don't want any rules. I mean, I'm getting amazed. Man, people disown the cops all the time and all this stuff, and they don't think that we ought to have them, don't think you ought to have military, and they never have, don't want no borders, and it's on and on and on it goes, and we're in a mess, and people just want to live in sin and be as vile as they can be, and they don't want nobody to stand in their way. But the Bible said these men were children, but they're sinful men, they're wicked. And God looks at sinners as being wicked. Amen. By the way, I'm going to say this, because the day we're living in, the word wicked doesn't mean good. I know each generation gets a little word, whether it's cool, and some are saying crazy, and then somebody's like, so they say, that's wicked, that's totally. Well, that Bible, when it tells something wicked, it ain't a good thing. Amen. It means it's very vile. You hear me? So when we're talking about men being sinful, we're talking about a crowd that's against God. Amen. So they're sinful men, but they're also scornful men. Look in verse 27. It says, but the children of Belial said, how should this man save us? And they despised him. Man, they didn't want nothing to do with the king. You find me somebody that don't want nothing to do with the church and do with God, and I'm going to tell you, their heart ain't never been touched by God. Amen. Don't come around. Hey, listen, can I help you with something? A long time ago, now I've got family members that tell me they're saved, but there are no fruit in their life. And I used to talk, and I guess try to prop something up for them, whatever you want to call it, make an excuse for them. How about that? I quit that. Because they either love him or they don't. Amen. And buddy, if they don't want nothing to do with the house of God, there's something wrong. Because folks saved want to go to church and want the word of God and want to pray and want to live right. Amen. But scornful, boy, they're scorners in this day, are they not? Man, ain't it amazing? Ain't it amazing? You be wicked and vile, and they'll make a hero out of you on the talk show. Amen. Yet a fella don't know he's a man, decides he wants to be a woman. Amen. I'm going to say it, they ought to take his medals away from him. He ran the wrong event. If he's what he claims he is, he ran the wrong event. You say, that's mean. I don't care, that's right. But you know what? That person is exalted tonight. And I promise you this, for me saying, hey, these people would love to crucify me over that. Are you hearing me? Hey, there ain't nothing good about what he's doing. Nothing. God ain't made a mistake. You hear me? God made me a man. I was born as a man. That's right. Hey, we're in a day where you live that one, they exalt. You live right. Amen? Hey, we've got some godly shut-in folk from our church. I think about the Rollins. Channel 7 ain't never been to their house to interview them. Hello? Oprah Winfrey ain't never wanted to have them on her show. Or none of the rest of them. Why? They live right. Amen. You say it's Wednesday. Well, I know, but it's here. Amen. We see men that are, if a person's scornful, they ain't never been touched by the Lord. Hey, this crowd of Belial, they're scorners, they're scornful men. Then let me say this also, verse 1, they're selfish men. For it said, and brought him no presents. All they live for is self. And that's what's going on in this day. People living for self. I want everybody to look up here and listen to me tonight. every problem, whether it's a marital problem or a church problem or a nation has a problem, you go all the way through the list, I promise you selfishness is right in the middle of it. Amen. A marriage, when all it takes one in a marriage gets selfish, and you're going to have a problem. That's right. When you don't put the other before you, I promise you, you're going to have a problem. This crowd, they were just, they weren't going to do anything for Saul. They didn't want nothing to do with him, and they're going to do their own thing. Amen. Why? Their heart has never been touched by God. We see the definition of touch. We see the difference this touch makes. But then I want to say thirdly, there's the delight of this touch. Man, there's something about God touching us. Can I say, first of all, we can feel it? Now I want you to think about something just a minute, of how blessed you are that you can feel the touch of God. You think about that you have experience and you know when God touches your heart. Why do you say all that, preacher? Well, look over in your Bible, the book of Ephesians, just a minute. I want you to read these verses with your eyes while I'm reading them out loud, because there's something about this. I'm saying that there's a delight. I thank the God of heaven that I can feel Him touch me. Amen. Over in Ephesians chapter number 4, in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 17 down through verse 19. Here's what the Bible's saying about a crowd that's in this world even today. In Ephesians chapter 4 and begin verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Having the understanding darkened. Hey, that sounds like a lot of folk I meet. They don't understand why it's been darkened, being alienated from the life of God. Wow. You know what being saved is, don't you? It's the life of God being in you, Christ. He is eternal life. And for you are saved, you was alienated from the life of God. Amen. Hey, he said, alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. Listen to this, because of the blindness of their heart. They're blinded. Listen to this, here's where I'm going with this. You ought to thank God you can feel. Verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. They are past, they can't feel. What about that? And you and I, who have experienced the touch of God, we can feel Him. I bless the God of heaven for that. I ought to be in hell. I would be in that shape tonight that I read to you in Ephesians chapter 4 had God not touched me. You'd be just like that had God not touched you. Amen. Don't never look down at some. Understand they are where they are because they ain't been touched. You talk about hard and cold. They are. Why? A lot of folk are past feeling. That's a serious place to get. Matter of fact, Romans 1 even warns about a reprobate man, and that's serious business. Amen. So, hey, there's the delight of this because we can feel it. But listen to this. It can feed us. That touch does something for the inner man. When nothing else helps you, have you noticed? I mean, everybody's gave you a word of encouragement. They've told you they're praying for you. But one touch from God, boy, is all you needed to keep on going. Hey, listen to this. Because that touch of delight, and that's how we are led. That touch can lead us. Romans 8:14, as many are led by the Spirit of God. Hey, I'm glad for the touch upon my heart by the God of heaven. Hey, you're blessed tonight. You're blessed that God has touched you. Amen. Hey, yes, it's whosoever will. It is. Anybody gets saved. But I'm telling you again, God will make the first move. Because the natural man ain't interested in salvation. Natural man's interested in doing his own thing. That's what the natural man wants to do. Whatever feels good, whatever he thinks is fine at that moment is all he's interested in. But I'm telling you what, the moment God touched my heart and conviction, I got wanting to get saved. I realized if I didn't get saved, I was going to lift my eyes in hell being in torments. Amen. Hey, aren't you glad that you have a heart touched by God? That God took a moment in time and touched you. You think about that. Boy, we're blessed. We're blessed. I know that's a simple thought, but I'm going to tell you, it got stirred. It blessed me while painting. You can get blessed painting, you can get blessed anywhere. Amen. To think that God would touch you. I'm glad for the touch of God tonight. It means a lot to me. It turned my life around, got me going a different direction. Amen. Because of his touch. Father, take the message, use it for thy glory. I've tried my best to preach what you laid upon my heart tonight. Lord, help us to hide it in our heart that we might not sin against thee. And all you do, we'll praise you and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Heads bowed and eyes closed just a moment. Is there one here tonight would say, preacher, I'm not saved. I'm lost. I know it. I need to be saved. Pray for me tonight. Anybody at all, preacher, God touched my heart. I need to be saved. Let's stand tonight. Maybe you're burdened about someone need to pray, or maybe you'd like to come thank God for that touch. Whatever the case might be. Brother Ian's going to sing, or whatever God's touched his heart with, this altar's open. You come.